It's going to be, we're going to talk about 7 things that we can extend to other people during Christmas. So that's, I made that up. So we could be have a great attitude. So, here's something to think about. The goodwill of God has been brought to us. Has been brought to us through Jesus Christ and through His goodness and His mercy. So Christmas, as in the angels announce, is goodwill to all men, or all. We say, oh, King James says all men, so all people, all humanity. So this is the time we extend goodwill, and you saw that demonstrated in the example of the soldiers that were having a fight, they were at war, where nations were at war, and then they extended, they had a truce, and in that time, I must be, what's going on here? We better pray. Everybody stand up. Pray real hard. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you for your goodness and all that has been extended to us because of Jesus. And so we thank you for all the people here this morning. We ask the mercy and grace that you bestowed to on us, that they'd be able to experience that grace and experience that mercy today. They'll have the openness to do that. We know you've already extended that mercy and you extended that grace. But let us all here in the name of Jesus begin to say, Lord, I'm receiving your grace. I'm receiving your mercy. And so, Father, for all the things that's happening and all the stresses and all the hardships that we've had this year. And so this year, Father, this Christmas, we put this on your lap. And we just declare that we don't have the cares anymore. We don't have the worries anymore. We don't have the stresses of life because you said to cast all your cares, all your burdens on you. And so we're going to do that right now. And so from this day forward, and we can look back at it, and we say, Father, even when the devil tempts us to take it back, we're going to say, no, Jesus has taken it away as a wonderful gift in freedom. We give you praise for this, and thank you for this message today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. All righty, let's go to our scriptures this morning. Luke chapter 13, chapter 2 and verse 14, I'm reading the King James Version. The Bible says, it says here, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace, goodwill towards men. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the New Living Translation says, she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Then over there in the next verse of scripture, I believe, let me just get it for you. Verse 11. The Savior said, yes, Messiah, the Lord has been born. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born in Bethlehem in the city of David. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom he is well pleased. This is the New Living Translation. In Luke chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, and those in that time, the Lord's favor, everybody say favor, has come. That time, the Lord's favor has come. So, and I'm going to just read this Luke 4:19 in the Amplified Bible. It says, to proclaim the favorable year. Everybody say favorable year. Favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and favor of God abound greatly. The favor of God is abound greatly. And so let's not forget that the favor of God, we talk about favorites. We're all God's favorites. And the favor of God is upon us today, right now. And you might not feel it. It might not even seem like it. The reality of it, your natural surroundings or whatever's going on in your life might not seem like it's a time of favor, but it is. And let's not let the natural life try to defy what God has been saying. That's why we have to cast down those imaginations. Luke 4:19, the NIV says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, that's what the angel said. The classical edition of the Amplified says to proclaim the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That's really expressive, isn't it? Really, really telling it like it is. So God's favors profusely abound. I don't know if you would say that. You know, every child of God is given more opportunity to experience the goodness of God, the favors of God, and we can extend this favor, the goodness of God, to other people, especially during this Christmas season. Here's something that we should know about what the Bible says here. My child, over here in the, let's go to the Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, my child, never forget the things that I've taught you. Everybody say, never forget. See, God doesn't want us to forget some things. And we can get so forgetful because things happen in people's lives that, you know, your memories, things can trigger you to things, you know, that happened bad in the past. And so we have to go back and do what the Bible says and not forget what God has said. Over here in Proverbs, over here it says in chapter 3, verse 1, my child, never forget what I taught you. And so we should not forget the teachings of the Bible, of Scripture, what we've been taught. Psalm 103 says, you know, let's not forget the benefits of God, the benefits of the Lord. There's benefits in God. So he says, store my commands in your heart. That's still the first verse. Store the commands in your heart. So it's something that you do. That's something you must do this Christmas, is don't forget. And begin to store those things. You know, how many of you got, you know, you came home and you store all your gifts over there so that nobody sees them, you know, and the kids actually saw them already, didn't tell you, and they're there. They want to get at it. And so God wants you not to forget. Verse 2 says, if you do this, if you don't forget and you store, you will live many years. Your life will be satisfying. Hey, that's the goodness of God. We can live many years. How many of you want to live many years? Huh? Well, six of you don't want to live. I would have to, if you could just transfer your years to me, I'd accept them. there's a machine back there, and just put your money in there, whatever. So he says in here, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Well, it wouldn't be good if you live long and your life is not satisfying. Amen. Hey, you're just mad every day, broke, sick. Amen. And everybody's after you. All the creditors after you. You don't have enough. But it's good when you live long. You're not sick. Amen. You can enjoy a nice Coke every once in a while, right? Sandwich without ever coming back to you. That's wonderful to have that kind of a freedom. You know, don't have to go to bed at night and think about what might show up. So the other day we were sleeping and our pups, they decided to throw up on the bed. So I told Miss Anita, she said, I'm going to clean that up. I said, that's a good idea. Whose idea to bring this dog on this? And now Sully has taken to marking up all the house. So if you come to my house, it smells like dog. You know who to blame. Not me. Verse 3 says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. You know, God is loyal. He's so kind. But we must not forget, God showed us that, and we must extend loyalty to one another. You know, there's nothing like having a loyal friend, is it? You know, loyal, no matter who you know, what's going on in your life, they're loyal to you. They're kind, they're always kind. You know, would you like to have a boss just unpredictable? You don't know what they're going to, is they going to fly off the handle, or you go to them in the morning? Some people you don't know sometimes. They might fly off the handle. You might not know. That's, I'm not disparaging this, but sometimes, us men, we live with the other kind of people. I had three in my house, and they act certain times of the year. I said, what is happening? When I was a kid, you know, growing up with my sisters, I didn't understand about the women's cycles. So I was fighting with my sister. My mom said, don't you know about this? Well, I know, you never taught me about this. So I learned my lesson after getting beaten up several times by my big sister, not to mess with him about the 23rd day of every year, every month. So he must be loyal and kind all the time. Tie them around your necks. As a reminder, write them deeply within your heart. That's something you do. So you must show loyalty, kindness, and all that to people around you. Verse 4 says this. Listen to this. This is wonderful. Then you'll find favor with both God and people. If you do these things, you know what? Sometimes it's our own fault that people are not nice to us because we haven't showed kindness. The Bible says when we show kindness, no matter what's going on in their life, they're going to respond to us. Even if they didn't react at first, they're going to stop and act nice towards you. God says that when your life pleases the Lord, He says, I'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. Wow, that's wonderful, is it? That's in the Bible. You'll find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. How many of you want a good reputation? So if you ruin your reputation, it's not over yet. You can earn a good reputation. Goodness will abound to you. So here's a good tip for you in 2022. You can start off the year with this. We all know this already. It's no secret. Live a Christian life. Lord, I think he's twisting my tongue here. Live a Christian. Okay. Live a Christmas life. There, I got it out. Not just for Christmas Day or Christmas week, but you live Christmas like every day, like it's Christmas every day. You know, Christmas is full of expectation, right? Oh, we're going to have a nice turkey. Right? I can't wait to eat Mama's cooking. Right? What's in that box? It looks so glittery. So, we're excited. You know, didn't you look like that? Those kids' version of Christmas? It was wonderful, right? I wish we had cameras like that when we were kids. I don't have a kid picture. I wonder if they could have a machine that could make me into a little baby. That'd be awesome, right? Here's little Roma. They say when I was a kid, I'd just rip off my clothes, run around. But they should have taken a picture of me. I don't believe it. I think my family likes to get at me here. So, and they gave me a name. So live a Christmas life every day, not just on Christmas Day. It's possible that part of our problems on the holiday season is this, that we're trying to cram all the love in one day. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. And one day, we're going to do all the celebrating on Christmas Day. And after that, after the Christmas Day is over, it's back to normal. Hey? What are you doing in my house? Get out of here. I had enough of you eating up my bacon. Get out of here. All the cramming one day, all the loving, all the celebrating. You know, we remember things, you know, families get together at Christmas Day. We always remember good times back. And, you know, I sit with my good sister here, Maxine, you know. Maxine is like my sister. My sister Susan, who I lost, she's just like her. When we get together, all of a sudden I'm talking to Ojibwe fluently. And I say, where did that come from? And so that happens to me, but when I'm not there, I lose it. So somehow it's stored in there. The machine is stored in there. So, you know, we tell good stories about our childhood and different things happen, you know. We talk about our tragedies. And somehow, why do we remember all the horrible things in life? You know, why don't we remember good things? You know, there's a lot of good things happened in my life. You know, It wasn't, when I look back at it, hey, I had a good, pretty good childhood. Just that I remember all the bad stuff. Okay. So let's not cram everything. Can you promise yourself that? And you're going to spread it all throughout the year. And you can do something good every day for the rest of the year and enjoy your Christmas all year round. When I come to your house, you're burning candles. You say, what are you doing? I'm enjoying Christmas. It's July, buddy. And take those snowshoes off. So God deserves all the praise and glory for sending Jesus to us, who bought us completely, our spirit, soul, and body. He wants us to have peace. God really wants us to have peace and enjoy that peace and enjoy goodwill. Not to be afraid of God. A lot of people are afraid of God. They're afraid of when they die, what's going to happen. We're not afraid to die and what's going to happen. We know where we're going. It's going to be glorious. You know, it's a hallelujah. So he wants us to have peace beyond our wildest dreams. But the Bible declares something else about this, and that we should understand this. You know, we live in two worlds. We're spiritual people. We're spiritual in the sense that our spirits are born again. And we live in a physical body that lives in this world. One day we'll have a brand new body. And your body, you know, if you don't watch it, it'll want to do what it used to do. You got to take reins on it. You got to control your body. And so here's what Timothy says about what's happening right now. You know, there's a lot of calamity, a lot of craziness going on in the world today. How many people can concern about that? There's things going on. There's all kinds of wicked weather. I think about the BC people and how they've had to endure all the floods. And just recently I heard all the, the Midwest and all the tornadoes that went by. And we got the pandemic. And hockey's not playing in some places. I was looking forward last night. I'm going home. And I'm really going to enjoy a hockey game, watch a hockey game, late game, and watch the Leafs play with the Vancouver Canucks. I thought it's going to be a good game. I'm ready to go. They said, this canceled. What's going on? It's supposed to be Christmas. They're not supposed to cancel stuff. They're supposed to put extra hockey games on tonight, boys. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's go ahead and read this. I believe it's the New Living Translation. Yes, it is. Here's what Timothy says about the time we're living in right now. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, as Paul is saying, the last days, everybody say the last days. There'll be very difficult times. How many people know we're living in very difficult times? Yeah. For people will love only themselves and their money. So no, everybody's quiet. You talk about money. You could hear everybody start to tense up a little bit. Gotta hang on. Somebody said, remember the old days when they had the Canadians had a dollar bill? They said, you're so cheap that you squeeze that dollar bill that the queen starts crying. Well, that's supposed to be a joke, but some people don't think that's funny at all. Okay. For people who love only themselves and their money, they'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. But, God tells us to self-control, right? You can't say, I can't help it. No, you can help it. You can help it. I'm looking over here right now. We're just looking at each other, saying hi. We're just saying hi. No insinuation at all. They will be cruel and hate what is good, betray their friends, be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasures rather than God. They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Verse 13, 14, it continues. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and themselves will be deceived. that you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. For you know you can trust that those who taught you. This is 2 Timothy. So no matter what the world is doing, we shouldn't be dissuaded to not show the good, especially during this Christmas holiday season. We shouldn't copy the ways of the world, but we should do the things that God says through reading the Word daily and following the Spirit of God in our hearts. So when we ask ourselves, what does this Christmas season mean to us? You know, I try to put it off for as long as I could. And, things happen. It's different every year. You know, you don't expect people to die. You don't expect things to happen. Things happen. You have to adjust yourself to certain situations. And you find yourself getting pulled and pulled this way, pulled that way. And by the way, we had such a wonderful celebration. Monday? Friday? So Miss Eileen went to heaven, graduated to heaven, and Craig's mom, Pastor Ken's grandma, went away to heaven. And she's excited about going there. You know, and she's gone now. She's in there celebrating. And, you think about it, we're sad about it. We're sad about somebody passing away. But I tell you, I've done a lot of funerals over the years, and this was one of the best, I would say one of the best funerals that I've been to, where everybody is celebrating, having a great time, but crying at the same time because we're grieving, but knowing she's in a better place. And she's waiting, and she's enjoying all her ancestors that left before her, having a great time. And it's like, when you go to heaven, there's no time limit because, it's like maybe 2 days pass. There's no time for her. It's like, when you guys show up, you say, oh, you're here too. That's how it's going to be. That's what it's like in the spiritual realm. There's no time. Everybody say no time. But you're going to have a lot of time up there. And it's for eternity, is forever. Yesterday, I'm sitting there. I don't know what to say. I'm just enjoying myself. And I forgot something. Someone texted me and said, Pastor, my son passed away. Could you please do the funeral? I said, I'm not in town. I'm away. And I said, well, one of our pastors, just go ahead and call them at the church and they'll take care of you. And if not, I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to be there. And if no one's picked it up, I'll be there. I'm coming home Friday. And so we got home Friday, so we jump into that funeral services here, and then the next day I'm just eating my curds and whey, and along came a spider. No, I'm sitting there, and the text said, Pastor, are you coming? What? I said, we're waiting for you here at the Harbor View, and I said, well, nobody told me. So I'm supposed to be there. My hair's all bushy. I just took the dogs out and I said, yeah, I'll be ready. I said, I'd be there 20 minutes. A miracle happened. I was ready. And I got there like a couple minutes to spare. But I got there. And I showed up. Miss Joanne, you're not leaving right now, are you? No? Okay, good. So anyway, we was able to do that. And so this one of our congregants lost, a member of their family. This is a young man. Well, it's not really young, but, in the 40s. And passed away because of addictions, overdose. And I said to the people, I've never done so many of these funerals over the last year or two, last little while. But, you think about it, Christmas time, here's people suffering. And you're getting pulled in different directions to try to be there for people, help them out. And they were so grateful that I came to be there for them and to help them out. And, this is Christmas. The Christmas season, and not everybody's having a great time. And But that doesn't stop you from having a good time. Enjoy yourself, praise God. And don't feel guilty about it. Because I'm having a bad time. You know, somebody says, when mama's unhappy, ain't nobody happy. Okay, so when we think about Christmas, I mean, hey, it is a time of great spiritual experiences, a great time of expectation spiritually in the things of God. But not everything is always flowing around us the way it should be. And so we need to adjust ourselves, right? We adjust ourselves to the time. So when we consider Christmas, first of all, for us Christians, it means that God giving his greatest gift to us. John the Beloved said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so that's our message to the world. We don't go around telling them they're sinful and God's going to get them. No, we're going to say, hey, God's favor is upon you. This is a time to receive Jesus. Amen? So that's what we do. So salvation through Christ is the greatest gift we could ever give. The good news to people. It's the greatest gift to us. After receiving his Son for our own salvation, we inherit many great gifts from God. We receive many blessings from heaven because of the salvation we receive. So we ought to share his goodness. Because of God's goodness has been shed upon us, we should share the goodness of God which we have experienced ourselves. So the angels announce goodwill to all humanity. So what do you consider as far as goodwill is? Well, I'm sure you can think of many things. But one outstanding thing is that goodwill, as the angels mentioned, has been extended to everyone. You know, just as this gift is available to everybody, there's you know, it's God's goodness upon our lives. This goodwill. So I want to share with you these seven things that we can give. First of all, goodwill, what does it mean? It means what it means to us. Angel said, goodwill towards everybody, towards all humanity. So there are seven things that we've come up with during this time to think about. Goodwill means kindness. It means the kindness of God has showed up in our lives. Here's what Timothy or Titus says, chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, the New Living says, "But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of our righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit." So just goodwill and kindness of God, not because we earned it, but because God loved us. And you didn't earn salvation. None of us earned salvation. God's kindness came to us and said, "I love you." That's the undeserved favor of God. God loves you. Everybody say, "God loves me." Come on. Say, "God loves me." See, he loves you unconditionally. You didn't earn it. He just loves you. You don't have to say, "I'll go to church more. I'm going to work more." No, God already loves you. "I'm going to give more money." No, God already loves you. You don't have to do anything. He still loves you no matter what you do. But that doesn't mean you don't do those good things. You should be good as a result of his goodness. So you should know we ought to be kind towards each other because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be kind to one another. So at Christmas time, we should be a little bit more extra kind. To be reminded to be kind, be merciful to other people. Here's what Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another." I mean, do we have to ask you to be kind? Do we have to, "Hey, can you be kind, please?" You know, I think about, I'm gonna tell that, that Timmy's workers are so slow, that line up so long. This is supposed to be a drive-through, not a sit-through. And when I get to that corner, I would have tell that Timmy off worker, and then, "Where's my coffee?" And then when you get there, the Lord restrains you. So be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Everybody say tender-hearted. You know, when I think about tender-hearted, Pastor Ken is like that. He's really tender. Very tender. There's nothing hard about him, except when he has to pay the bill. He says, let me borrow your credit card. You know, this is bad, but one day I'll tell this story. I'm always teasing Pastor Kid about that kitty. Anything goes on with the kitty, it's Pastor Ken. If my keys are missing, it's Pastor Ken. Who brought in all that water? Pastor Ken did it. But most of the time, it is him. I said, Pastor Ken, did you take my keys? Oh yeah, I got them. I'm still missing keys. If anybody found keys, my fob for my Honda and my car starter. So some of you got it. I thought Gene had it. I thought Gene says, I'm going to take these extra keys. I saw her in my mind taking it. See how the devil works? Yeah? I thought about him, but I never once, thought about Pastor Steve doing it. His little angel fluttering in the corner. With horns on. he's the baby pastor. It's almost over, guys. The next thing we should extend to one another is love. I shouldn't be saying all this stuff, confessing everybody else's faults and wrongs and mistakes. Oh man. Love offers, God offers love that's unrestricted, has no bounds. You don't say, I did this once for you, I'm not going to do it again. I drove you uptown one time, I'm not doing it again. No, you drive up uptown again. I picked you up last time, I'm not doing it again. So love, God's love has no bounds. You just go ahead, I'm going to love you. And I'm driving you downtown because you don't deserve it. I'm going to drive you downtown. You know what, my friend? I'm just looking at you because you're looking at me. I didn't say anything. I just happened to say I'm driving. And I drove him lots. I'm looking at him. I'm going to drive you downtown. We love you, brother. So, we must love with no conditions attached to it. This agape love is unlimited. It's unconditional. He put that same love in our hearts that he put in Jesus. You know, every one of us can love people. This kind of love, we don't operate by feelings. We don't operate by what we think. We just give it, and we do things for people undeservedly. We don't say, I had enough of you. Although we do have enough of somebody sometimes. Sometimes you have to put a limit to certain things. You know, if they wake you up 3 o'clock every night. So that's enough. So John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:6 says that the same love that God had in him, in Jesus, is the same love he put in us when we got born again. We just don't know it. We haven't developed in it as much. We need to develop more in this love. That this kind of love is demonstrated and it is defined for us by Paul, by the Holy Ghost, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. He said, love is patient. So when you're impatient with someone, you're not walking in love. And it says it's kind. When we're unkind, when we say unkind words to people, when we write bad things on our Facebook about people, about the government, we're not being kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. You know, we say, well, I'm going to have it my way. I've given you chances for the 6 months. Now it's my turn. So, does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of wrongs. Does not rejoice in injustices, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up and never loses faith. It's always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Jesus said a new commandment, if you feel like doing it, that you love one another. No? He said, this is a command. I'm commanding you to love each other. I'm commanding you. Go ahead. Love each other. Do it. Now you have to learn how to do that properly. I mean, there's times you have to figure out in wisdom how to apply it properly. Because there's times, you know, like you say, if somebody is abusing somebody, no, you don't stay with that person because you love them. No, you have to remove yourself. There's a time when you have to say, you know, hey, this is dangerous for me. This person's not loving me anyway. I'm going to die here. I've got to get out of here. Right? So we have to learn how to... that's, wisdom is the ability to apply those the knowledge of God. So three, favor. God is showing us His divine favor as an act of His grace and mercy, kindness. He's been gracious to us, giving us His only Son as an act of His kindness towards us. It's great to have this happen to us. So we extend this act of showing favor towards everybody. No matter who they are, we can be kind to someone today. Make their day. Angel said this in 1:30 of Luke to Mary. Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. It's not just for Mary, but for all of us, to Christ. We have found favor with God. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Thank God for that. Romans 12 and 10. Friendship is something we can extend to people. We can give friendship. We can favor to people. The Bible says God was a friend of Abraham, and He's our friend as well. The Bible says Jesus is our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. As brothers and sisters, we can have great friends and be friend, extend friendships to people around here. Like, we need to have some friends going on in this house. Amen? Like, be friends to somebody you haven't been friends with all year. Not just your favorite chums, okay? Between family members even. You haven't seen family members for years. I have family members that in this city I haven't seen for a long time. I got to see them this year. How can we never come to my place? Yeah, but how can we never come to my place? You never phone me. You never want me there. Don't you like me? You never send me any emails. No, nothing. No, nothing. For instance, the Bible says, Romans 5:10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we are yet still sinners, we will certainly be saved through life through His Son. So you know what? You know, we weren't such good friends with God before, but God still extended our friendship. You know, sometimes we have to go the extra mile to be a friend to somebody, right? He said, well, I don't want to be that. He's not a good friend. No, just go ahead and be friends with them anyway, right? He said, you know what? I'm going to be your friend no matter if you like it or not. And so don't unfriend people on Facebook this year. I'm going to be everybody's friend. Huh? No? So we can be friends of the world at the same time and friends of God. Generosity. Here's another we can do. God had been so generous to us, giving His salvation without works. We didn't earn it. As God's people, we can be generous. Ephesians 4:7 says, however, He has given us, each one of us, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. God was so generous, He gave us the ability, you know, the gifts in our lives that we can serve with. You know, when I was at the funeral yesterday over here at Harborview, I was talking about, you know, you're, as a minister, you're doing, you do all kinds of funerals, and some people are not born again. Some of the families are not saved, and lots of times there's even fighting going on. There's a Catholic family, and then there's a traditional family, and then they're fighting, and you come in there, you gotta, you know, be a referee a little bit, you know. And you know, some people don't like you and some people like you, and yet you're the minister. And you have to be in there and try to. So I told people that, you know, God, at this time, you know, this season, when this happening, you know, you got to be kind to one another. Be nice to each other. It's a time when you have a truce. Put that down and be nice to each other. Support each other while this death happens. You know, you need to help each other out. And I said this. I said, you know, everybody, God has given a special grace to everyone. God has graced everybody with gifts. And we should use that gift to help one another. And one of the traditional guys got up later on. He said, I like what Pastor Roma said. And we're all gifted. We have gifts to give one another. And so in the generosity of God, we need to be able to show our goodness, the goodness of God, by the gifts we have. I have the ability to bless other people. Just because I'm a minister, I have the ability to bless people. So every Christmas, I'll take, you know, some money, a few thousand bucks, and I will give $100 to some of our people who are not as blessed. Some mamas and some grandmas, and we go and give money to these people, or we take gift baskets, or we take food to them, and we go out and give them. You know, it's not out of my own pocket. Sometimes it's out of my own pocket, but not always. But if I did that, I'd have no money. I mean, there's a lot of people around. You know, you notice that now today, you run around, no matter where, every city, you'll find people that they're mumming on the street. You stop at a stop light, and they're there with a sign. And sometimes you want to talk to them, and they're, why don't you go to work? And the Lord says to you, no, don't say those things. You go ahead and tell them. You be nice to them. So a lot of times I dig them out of my pocket, and I take money out, and I give money out. You know, you think, you shouldn't be doing that. I know I shouldn't be doing that. But something's compelling me to give them the money. And you shut up. I'm talking to myself, you know, because, you know, you have a fight with each other, right? But and they said, you know, you're not supposed to give any bums money. You're encouraging them. Well, I want them to know I've done that. I stopped by, and sometimes I stop. I'll pull around and go stop and stop my car and talk to them and say, hey, you know what? I'll give you some money. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. I'll tell you about the Lord. And so you have an opportunity to share the love to somebody, to be generous. You know, I'm driving a nice warm car outside there. It's minus 45 in the wind. And I've done it. Right? My buddy, we've done it. We've talked to different ones. Right? We've done it. Yeah? Don't lie about it. Okay. He said, yeah. 1 Timothy 6:18 says to tell people to do good. Them that are rich, do good deeds, to be generous givers, sharing with other people. 1 Timothy 6:18. You know, to somebody else, you're very rich. To somebody who got nothing, you're like a millionaire to them. When you look at them, they look at you. You gotta be rich, man. You either gotta be a pastor or a drug dealer. People say, you drive a nice car. That's why I drive, you know, kind of a half-decent car. If you drive it too much, they'll say, you're stealing money. So you don't have that privilege. You're not their pastor, the head pastor. You can drive whatever you want. You got a different vehicle every week. Skidoo and motorcycles, mopeds. If he had a chance, he'd drive in a motorboat. I'm glad you got a good sense of humor. I was going to tell you, somebody misunderstood me the other day. I said, when your mom dies, I said dies. I was going to say, when she passes away, I want to be there. And I want to tell jokes about the mom, her mom. Her mom and his mom and I have such a friendship. It's like my own mother. I have to stop myself from saying things sometimes because she's not Ojibwe. Because you know, Jew, we say things that would be almost be disgusting to other people. We talk about body parts and different things, you know, smells and whatever. And you talk about that to your mom. Yeah, we're Ojibwe. Well, you don't understand that, I guess. It's culture, right? So I got to watch that. She's Ukrainian. But they're worse. So anyway, I'm just going to say this. Good deeds. We need to do good deeds to people. Revelation 9 says, we need to be people that are out there. Here's Titus 3:14 says, our people must learn to do good by meeting urgent needs of others, and they will not be unproductive. So find something to do for someone this year. You don't have to be at Christmas, but something nice. You know, it's good to be able to do that. It makes you feel good, right? To help somebody else. Here's the last thing. The Bible says that God put us on the right side of His ledger. You know, He put you there. He's given you honor. He's given you authority. He's given you rights. So sometimes we need to be able to do that with someone else. Sometimes people have lost rights. They don't have no power. We as people of God, we can put people on our right side. There's divine favor. There's divine goodness there. When we take somebody on our side and help them say, you know what, I'm going to take this Christian man or this person here. I'm going to give them a ride. They're unfortunate. They're you know, whatever it is, I'm going to take you for lunch. Isn't it nice when someone takes you for lunch? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Everybody says, I'm busy today. But sometimes God will stop you and say, no, you, this is how God talks. So here you go. Listen, go and pick up, what's your name again? You go over here. I forget Dave sometimes. That's John. He said, go pick up John. He said, no, I'm not picking him up. Okay then, God says. Next time, it's going to be you. Anyways, those are the things that you should share this year. I wish I was a gracious speaker, but I'm not. I just go ahead and share things, you know. I look at speakers, oh man, I wish I could speak like that. You know, but I'm getting better. Yeah, thank you. It's only been 30 years. Thank you. It's great, right? I mean, I look at the videos. Like, I sometimes take some favorite video and I show it to people. But so many mistakes, and you know, I wish I was more gracious than that. Johnny Carson. He's been on the show for many, many years. Well, we love you. That's all I got, buddy. That's all we got today. So we're gonna let you out in a few minutes. Pastor Steve is going to do that. Give Pastor Steve the hand. He's a good man, God. Praise God. Praise God. Give the music team a good hand as well. Praise God. Amen. And I want a hand too. I want a hand too. I want a little bit of gift. That's good. That makes you feel real good now. I mean, I get enough power to go right through another hour. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness today. Let's lift our hands and bless God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for a wonderful time here together. Celebrate your generosity, the goodwill of God. And so, Father, as we go through our day, we're not going to cram up all the Christmas celebration in 1 week or 1 day. We're going to just live Christmas all year round and be kind and be generous, be helpful, do good deeds. And we're going to say good things about people and do favors and give favors and put people on our right side. We thank you today for your goodness. And I pray that everyone here, son of my voice, but give time to Jesus. They said, Jesus, I'm turning my will, my life over to care of your care, and I'm giving you my life again. I'm giving you my whole life. If you're not born again, you're watching, you said, Jesus, I come to you, Father. I'm receiving your Son, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Save me. Wash me with your blood. And I'll be whiter than snow. I'll be a brand new person in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.